This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing. On the wall to either side of me and in your pew Bibles on page 187, you will find Joshua chapter 24. I will be reading the first three verses of that chapter, skipping and then going on to verse 14 and continuing on through 25. Listen in for the word of God written. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abram and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates, served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led them through the land of Canaan and made him offspring many. I gave him Isaac. Now, therefore, revere the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered, "Far be it from us that we shall forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors out from the land of Egypt, out from the house of slavery, who did great signs in our sights. He protected us along the way as he went, among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm, consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And Joshua said, "Then put away foreign gods that are among you. Incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Amen. Maybe you have a plaque at home like I do, with the quotation from Joshua 24:15 on it. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a contract. In today's world, it is an employment contract, is the closest thing we have. It is, who will you serve? Who's your employer? Who do you work for? Who are you responsible to? And who is responsible to you? Who are you in relationship? The only choice there is, the only true free choice there is to choose who to serve. Not making a choice is a choice in itself. You have to choose who you will serve, and then from then on, that determines all your other choices. They used to say in firefighters the same thing they say in the army. You know the army? It's an all-volunteer army. You've heard that, right? I got news for you. The volunteer stops as soon as you say yes. You make that choice, and that's who you served. Who do you serve? Who do you choose? When you make that choice, you give up freedom. Yes, every choice involves the giving up of freedom. Issue 3 on the ballot didn't get a lot of attention this time because of all the other issues. But issue 3 was an issue about health care and says, we want to choose our health care. We don't want it imposed upon us. But I tell you, that choice is not a choice for freedom, and it's just another choice of who you will serve. That choice means we want the choice to go bankrupt if we're sick. That's a choice. You know, the rich. Have you ever read those supermarket checkout tabloids, standing in Acme and see about the problems of the rich and famous, you know, the beautiful, you know, and they got these wonderful $1 million, they're on the big screen, they got beauties and they're trained, and you think everybody loves them, or well, a lot of people love them, and they hang out with other beautiful people, and you think, man, they gotta be happy. If I had all that, I'd be happy. You know, you're not. You've seen that. A lot of people that you think win all the money in the lottery or they're idolized by millions on television and movies, some of them turn out to be very happy. And the study shows Stumbling on Happiness, which we're looking at Weedia next week in the media class downstairs. The Stumbling on Happiness says that you're less happy the more choices you have. The more options you have, the more times you got to back out, reconsider, rethink, re-choose, re-that, the more stressed you are, the less happy you are, and strangely enough, the less happy you are whatever you do ultimately choose. You think more options. You think about putting out choices. You think about not signing up for things or not doing things. Preserving all your options and freedoms would be a good thing. Would lead to more happiness. And that's a great lie of our times. Perhaps the best lie that the boomers, my generations, has fallen for. Extra choices and options do not make you happy. What makes you happy is when you choose and you don't go back on that choice. Today in the news is all about choices made at Penn State over a decade of time. And that's important to remember, to imply Ohio laws and regulations and expectations of 2011 in Ohio to Pennsylvania years and decades ago. You have to watch that. I've been in several states as a minister, and every state has different rules and regulations and laws about what exactly you have to do in this case or that case in reporting child abuse. And let me be clear, here we do not approve, we do not condone, we do not take any type of child abuse less than terribly seriously. I will call the police, Cora will call the police, we will do what the law requires, and we will do more. We will not have it. We totally reject that. We think the things that happened there are absolutely wrong, and we'll have no place in this church or any place that we are. I was talking to Cora. As you know, the Color Rainbow Academy with their children are very much into talking about this issue. And I was talking to them about it and saying, well, what do you do? What can I tell the congregation? And they said that they have right there in their manual, and they're trained for this, that small hands, big dreams, Color Rainbow Academy, all employees are mandated by state law to report any suspected case of child abuse or neglect to the County Children's Services Board. The company has a zero tolerance policy for any sexual, physical, or verbal abuse. And you may think this doesn't happen, but it happens right here in this church. We had a report less than a month ago, and the cops came. Because not only do they call the children's service bureau, they make sure the cops come too. They want to make sure that the children are safe and protected. And this particular case, I was talking to them. I got the women down there riled up because they are fierce about protecting their children and their care. The mother has no rights to the children. The mother is obviously on drugs, and the mother comes for the children. Now, according to the law, according to the authorities, according to what they're supposed to do, according to what they're required to do, according to the manual, they are not supposed to do anything to stop her from taking those kids. They're supposed to call the police. But by the time they get there, the drugged mom would have the children. And I tell you, those women have made a pact with one another, and they said, we are not going to let that happen. We are not going to let that woman on drugs, high, take those kids. We are going to keep them safe. And you think, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. You don't know how great that is. If they do that, they could be arrested and charged with a felony. If they do that, they will be fired from Colorado Rainbow Academy. If they do that, they will never work in child care again, because you cannot have a record and work in child care. Choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve your career interests? Will you serve what is legally required of you? Will you do what the law says you must, or will you serve the children in your care? Choose this day who you will serve. I call police on members. I want you all to know that. I should have told you that sooner. But if I think you're not safe, I will call the cops. I will get you to the hospital. I will do what it takes to get you safe. I've done that several times with friends and with church members and acquaintances and people on the phone over my years. And you know what? I was going over my head again because I keep thinking about it. This brings back, well, what about me? Have I done enough? Have I done this? And I've never regretted doing too much. There's never been a time that I said, I shouldn't have done that much. I should have held back. I should not have overreacted. I overreacted. I did that. I don't think it's because I think I'm so wonderful, because I do eat myself up about whether I did the right thing or not. But this one particular area, over 25 years of ministry, I don't think I've ever regretted doing too much. If that helps you, that's great. A couple times I think I should have done more. One particular time I got called out. It was late at night. I was a young pastor, and these friends who I didn't know called out to this woman who I barely know to come out and talk to her. She needed to talk to me right now. I go, right now? Right now? I mean, I was in a town where, you know, they rolled up the sidewalks at 8 o'clock and everybody went to bed, you know. I used to go out visiting at 8 o'clock and they met me with guns, so I quit that. And so they called me, it's like 10 o'clock, and they said, she needs to talk to you. I go, what, right now she's talking? Yeah, and so I came out there, and we talked, and talked, and I go, why are we talking and talking? And her friends were like this, you know, and I go, what is going on? I talked, and things were okay, and they thanked me and went home. Later I found out, she told her friends that she was going to kill herself. And they called me. If I had known that, we would have gotten much more intervention in there. That's the one time I thought, I wish I'd been a little bit more sensitive. I would have known that. But she didn't tell me anything. She just told her friends. That worked out okay. She said I saved her life. I got to celebrate her marriage, see her every week at Acme behind the grocery counter, meat counter, say hello to her. But that kind of haunts me. What if it didn't turn out all right? would I have to resign or be fired? And would people be right in doing that? I would understand that reaction if they did. I've never regretted doing too much. I've gotten yelled at from it. My best friend, heart-to-heart friend. I turned her in. She was mad. Spitting mad. She was so mad at me, and she told me, she's very articulate, told me how mad she was at me. And I listened to it, and I said, I love you, and I'm not going to let anything happen to you, and I won't let anybody harm you, including yourself. And if this ends our friendship, and if you never speak to me again, that's okay. She said, I'm still mad at you, but we have to go to lunch, so give me about 5 minutes. You know, a true friendship, when you can turn them in, you still be friends. Well, I did get you in here talking about Joe Paterno and Joe Paul. So I should say that. The question of the scripture is a question that's before him, before of us all. Who do you serve? Who do you work for? Who's your employer? Who do you answer to? Who are you responsible to? This entire chapter is an employment contract, is a feudal kind of thing where you're the Lord and Master. I will do this, you will do that. Sign at the bottom line, okay. We got some witnesses. Yes, we're witnesses. We really want to do this. Boom, boom. Here's the penalty if you don't do it. Yes, we understand the penalty. We still want to do it. Okay, we sign out. It's a whole it's an employment contract between God and God's people. Who do you work for? Do you work for a football institution? Do you work for a university? Is your ultimate allegiance to your friendship with people? Is what you want is people to think well of you? Are you want to be friends with someone? You don't want to get them in trouble? Where are you? Who do you work for? And I tell you, decide this day. And you will be a lot happier when the time comes if you know who you work for. There's a lot around people saying that were popular a few years ago, what would Jesus do, WWJD. Maybe you've had the bracelets or seen it or had the bumper stickers and all that. And that's okay. That's good. That's a good step. I like that. I'm all right. That's okay with that. It's a lot better than other things. But one of the things, Jesus, you know, he lived in a particular time and place, in a particular culture with particular people. And that's one part of it. That's a little part, major, but maybe. But that's a part. The big part for me is I'm not Jesus. If any of you think I'm Jesus, I've heard you say, you know, his name around me, but I don't think you were calling me that. I think there was other reasons. But I'm not Jesus. I don't have a Jesus' job. Sometimes I like to jump up on a cross and die and hope everybody wonders how wonderful and martyrdom I am and love me forever like Jesus, but that's not my job. Jesus died for the world and died for the sins and died for me, so I don't have to. But what I do have to do is ask myself, is what would Jesus have me do? I don't have to be the boss. I don't have to do what the boss says. I've had bosses done. I've been fired. I've been laid off. All these sort of things through no work of my own. And never was it because I didn't do what the boss does. It was always because of external events or because of my job wasn't needed anymore or whatever. And that's the same thing here. The question is, you don't have to be Jesus. In fact, don't be Jesus. You know, I've met Jesus. Did you know that? Did I tell you this? I was in prison. I met Jesus. He introduced himself. He kind of looked like Jesus. And that wasn't the strange part. Not only was he Jesus, but he had two people on either side of him that said, yeah, he's Jesus. Having disciples was kind of creepy there. That was back at Luther Luckett, the mental part of the place. Don't do that. Don't be Jesus. We got one Jesus. That's plenty. More than enough for the world. What we don't have is people that work for Jesus. people that are in his employ, people that say that's who we serve, that's our ultimate authority. So the question is, what would Jesus have me do on here? Have you seen those bumper stickers? I think I like this better. My boss is a Jewish carpenter. I kind of like those ones better. Boss, Jewish carpenter. I like that better. I can do that. I can work for Jesus a lot better than I can be Jesus. Who do you work for? Who do you choose to be related to? If you choose to do what the law requires, if you choose to do just what you're required, what's your authentic and what is the current law of the day, of the year, whatever it is, and you say you report to authority, I've discharged my legal obligations, I'm okay, you may not be. But if you can figure out what Jesus would have you do, even if you get in trouble, even if you lose your job, even if friends are no longer your friends, ultimately, eternally, you will be okay. What would Jesus have me do? I tell you what, Jesus would protect the innocent. Jesus would protect the poor, the helpless, the weak. Jesus would protect the sick. Jesus would protect all those folks that need help. Way before he would bail out a bank, way before he will protect money or protect jobs or protect anything else. Who do you work for? Who do you choose? Make your choice today. We think that this part of Joshua 24 was a repeated event, that they came back every so often and got through all the stuff that God had done, all the stuff that God requires, and they all agreed, yes, again, we're for God. And that's kind of what Sunday is. Sunday is for us to remind us we made a choice. Being here today, instead of somewhere else or just at home, you made a choice, a good choice. You've chose this day who you would serve. And every Sunday is a reminder of that choice. Go and do what Jesus would have you to do, beyond the law, beyond the requirement, beyond the job description. Do what Jesus would have you do. Choose him. Amen.